Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Zensar Technologies Limited, hosted by IDBI Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Devang Bhatt from IDBI Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Darwin. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of IDBI Capital, I welcome you all to Zensar Tech's Q3 FY24 earnings call. We have with us Mr. Manish Tandon, CEO and Managing Director of Zensar Tech, Mr. Sachin Zuke, Chief Financial Officer, and a few other members of the senior management team. Before I hand over the call to Manish, I would like to highlight that the safe harbor statement of the second slide of the earnings presentation is assumed to be read and understood. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Devang. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to join us today to discuss Zensar's financial results for the third quarter of FY24. Along with Sachin, I have Vijay Simha, our Chief Operating Officer, and Vivek Ranjan, our CHRO, also on this call to take your questions. It's been just over a year since I joined Zensar, and exactly a year since I first spoke to all of you. In my first call, I mentioned how proud I am to be leading Zensar. Fast forward 1 year, I won't change a thing I said then. As an organization, our strong investments in our service lines and our vertical bets, and of course, our people, have all come together to create a stronger and resilient organization that has client centricity as its core tenet. Over the past year, we have made good progress on the goals we set for ourselves. Our customer conversations are positive, our deal pipeline continues to be healthy, our order booking remains stable, and our profitability has been robust. Our expertise in designing digital experiences and engineering them to deliver superior engagements is showing strong traction among the clients. Though the third quarter is seasonally a soft quarter, we registered services revenue of $144.5 million, a sequential QOQ decline of 3%, and year-over-year growth of 1.3% in constant currency. Our margins continue to remain healthy, with profit after tax growing by 700 basis points on a year-on-year basis. LTM attrition further improved to 12% from 13.1% last quarter. Coming to the quarterly performance of our verticals, this being a seasonal quarter, comparison of the year-over-year performance is perhaps more appropriate. In constant currency terms, on a year-over-year basis, our services revenues in banking and financial services grew by 12.6%, manufacturing and consumer services grew by 5.5%, high-tech and healthcare declined by 9.6% and 14.3% respectively. Despite the unexpected deeper and wider furloughs from an overall revenue, margin, and order book position, I am very satisfied with the performance of the company. With that, I will now invite Sachin, our Chief Financial Officer, to provide an update on critical financial data. Sachin, over to you.
Thank you, Manish. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. In addition to Manish talking about business, I will take you through some key financial metrics for the quarter ending December 23. Revenue for the third quarter of financial year 2024 stood at $144.7 million, reflecting decline of 3.2% sequentially in constant currency terms and 3.7% in reported terms. The service revenue for the third quarter of financial year 2024 stood at $144.5 million in US dollar terms, reflecting year-on-year growth of 1.8% in reported terms. Gross margin for the quarter stood at 31.1%, drop of 70 basis points quarter on quarter. Decline was primarily due to exchange impact of 10 basis points, impact due to furlough and utilization 200 basis points, which was partially offset with our existing operational efficiency program, higher leave utilization, and reduced discretionary spend impacting the margins positively by 140 basis points. SG&A has increased by 70 basis points quarter on quarter. This includes reversal of 160 basis points benefit we had last quarter on account of lower management bonus payout. Exchange had negative impact of 10 basis points. PDD reversal for the quarter positively impacted the margin by 110 basis points. EBITDA for the quarter was at 11.2%, up 20 basis points against last quarter adjusted EBITDA margins. Our adjusted EBITDA margins for YTD stood at 17.3%, well above our guided range of mid-teens. We closed the quarter with higher cash and cash balances that stood at $248.3 million compared to $227.1 million in Q2 of FY24. Addition of $21.3 million in the quarter. DSO for the quarter stood at 75 days, 4 days lower than previous quarter. Order book remains healthy at $167.5 million for the current quarter with consistent new logo addition. As you have seen, high-tech has been sluggish quarter for the industry, which is true for us as well. However, apart from lower revenues from some large high-tech customers, we have witnessed growth in other parts of business, despite this being a quarter with higher than usual furloughs. The effective tax rate for the quarter stood at 23.8%. The total amount of outstanding hedges as on December 31, 2023 was equivalent to $313.7 million against $289.1 million in the previous quarter. The Board of Directors have approved an interim dividend of Rs. 2 per share for the financial year 2024, which is 100% of the face value. As we have consistently mentioned, we continue our rigor on improving execution, focusing on strategic cost optimization levers and maintaining a resilient bottom line. As we forge ahead, our financial strategy remains anchored with we driving growth, ensuring profitability and making required investments into the focused area of business. On ESG front, we have achieved significant improvement in our ESG scores from rating agencies like EcoVadis and DJSI. We have officially committed to aligning with SBTi, which is now available on SBTi's website itself. We have deployed organic waste converter in our Pune campus, resulting in in-house treatment of 100% organic waste. With that, now I invite Vijay Simha, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide updates on business operations. Vijay.
Thank you, Manish and Sachin. Greetings, everyone. I will share details about operational efficacy, service line performance, and capability enrichment initiatives. First, on operational efficacy, we are continuing our journey and making good progress on key imperatives like pyramid optimization, managing utilization in an optimal range, calibrated usage of subcontractors, and managing our on-site mix. Our focus on operational excellence enabled us to minimize the impact of seasonal headwinds in Q3, like the quantum of furloughs, extra holidays, and leaves. Our utilization was 310 basis points higher in Q3 of FY24 as compared to previous year's Q3. Excluding the impact of furloughs and leaves, the utilization improved even as compared to Q2 of FY24. The rigor associated with accelerated fulfillment and capability enrichment continued in Q3. We had a gross addition of 627 employees in the quarter. Service lines. While we had good volume growth across many of our service lines, revenue was impacted by seasonal headwinds. On a quarter-on-quarter basis in reported terms, Our advanced engineering service line registered a growth of 3%. Experience services remain flat. Foundation services and data Foundation services and data engineering analytics saw a decline of 2%. Application services and enterprise applications services saw a decline of 8%, which was primarily on account of furloughs. The share of revenues from advanced engineering services, data engineering and analytics, experience services and foundation services increased from 52.2% in Q2 of FY24 to 54.2% in Q3 of FY24. Capability enrichment. As part of our talent transformation journey, we are proactively multi-skilling our colleagues in a structured manner via the service line academies. Our industry services groups have established domain academies in the respective vertical to enhance the ability of our colleagues to deliver superior business value. The immersive programs launched to enrich the capability of our key talent in the areas of solution architecture, product management, program management have enabled us to create a sizable pool of homegrown talent in these areas. The in-depth learning programs from our AI Academy has enabled our engineers and data scientists to develop advanced skills in generative AI space. We leveraged our advanced generative AI skills to implement innovative solutions for a legal services client of ours, which enabled them to reduce processing time by 90%+ in some value chains. With that, I now hand it back to Manish.
Thanks, Vijay and Sachin. Last few quarters have been tough for the industry due to macroeconomic uncertainties, and the customers have seen cuts in their discretionary spends. We continue to collaborate with our customers in such times. We have strong systems in place and our capabilities are interlocked to tap into any available opportunity. Client success is our parameter and will keep moving in the right direction, focusing on growth and investing for the same. With that, we can open the line for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Devang Bhatt from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So one is that, you know, now you have stabilized your margins. So when will we see improvement in growth and which segments are you focusing to drive that growth? And what are we doing to reduce the higher dependence on clients?
So I think as far as this quarter is concerned, except for the high-tech segment, and there also there were a few specific clients where, because of the furlough and so on, deeper and wider furlough, we saw declines. But if you exclude that, then all parts of our business have done better than last quarter. So I'm pretty bullish about our growth prospects, revenue growth prospects, as far as non-high-tech vertical is concerned. High-tech is under stress. It is under stress for everyone. I mean, there are other verticals that are under stress for everyone, like banking and financial services, which is doing well for us. But high-tech, we are also suffering. And hopefully, given that the furloughs should come down in this quarter, hopefully the worst is behind us.
And sir, as you highlighted that, you know, there are some headwinds in macro. So what are we doing to mitigate the same? I mean, are we trying to grow that? Some specific segments or some specific clients are you targeting?
I think first of all, as I pointed out earlier last year, we have taken a lot of steps to manage and improve our client penetration and revenues. One is we have increased the addressable spend through addition of several service lines, including experience services, including ESAS, which includes Salesforce, Oracle, SAP, and everything, and advanced engineering services. And we are seeing good growth in these new service lines that we have added. Besides that, I mean, you have to stick to your core, client centricity, take care of your employees, take care of your clients in tough times, and, you know, we'll see the benefit. Also, we are trying to ride on to the newer trends that we are seeing in the market, like generative AI and so on, to see how we can piggyback on those trends and accelerate our revenue profile.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Manish, our deal wins have, let's say on a trailing 12-month basis, have sort of picked up. It's up 23%. Just wanted your thoughts on a couple of things. So one, have the deal wins of Q1 and Q2 completely ramped up? And do you think that the following quarter will be a growth quarter despite continuation of furloughs? So that's the first one. The second is, how are you thinking about high tech at this point in time? When do you see this sort of the trajectory sort of at least stabilizing? Is the second one, and I have one more as well. I'll follow up post this.
Yeah, Nitin, good to hear from you. I think on the first question on deal wins, as you can see, compared to the same quarter last year, our deal wins have gone up by 30-odd%, 34 million. And if you peel the onion a little bit more, you will find that most of these deal wins are coming from existing new, which means that our farming engine, what we had invested in, is working to our satisfaction, and that's very encouraging to see. Second question was, will next quarter be a growth quarter or not? As you know, we don't give projections for the next quarter, so I cannot comment on it.
5 million plus clients.
5 million plus clients have also gone up overall. And what was your third question, Nitin?
I said.
The third one was, when do you think high tech can sort of stabilize? And are you seeing incremental deal wins at some point that will start offsetting the pain that you're seeing from the client that you're seeing?
I think, that's a $100 million question as to when we will see the thing. The high tech sector for everyone is under stress, and even as we speak, Nitin, I was hearing that even Google has announced new job cuts and so on. So I mean, the jury is still out there, but as I said, except for high tech, I see other parts of our business firing much better. So as soon as this furlough impact, etc., and project closure impact, etc., goes away, we should hopefully see growth.
Sure. And lastly, if you could give your thoughts on BFSI, consumer services, and healthcare as well, on how are you seeing those sort of pan out?
So for us, BFSI has done pretty well. we have grown 12.6% year over year. And manufacturing and consumer services also grew by 5.5% year over year. So, and besides that, we are doing well in UK and Europe and also in South Africa, which are big markets for us. So, as I said, I mean, things are looking up except for the high-tech vertical.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much, Manish, and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Baid from Nuvama Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to confirm on what was the order or backlog this quarter?
So we look at order booking and not order backlog. Our order backlog or booking was 167.5 million, which was about 34 million more than the same quarter last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Manish, I think the pain in a high-tech and that too from a top client within the high-tech is a well-accepted fact for Zensar, and it has been accepted fact for the investor as well. But to surpass that, we have to accelerate the pedal in terms of driving growth in other accounts in high-tech and the other verticals. So are we geared for the same? Do you believe the time has come in terms of driving this incrementally better, and that will help us to compensate the headwinds coming on the growth coming through high-tech account year after year and quarter after quarter?
No, as I said, except for high-tech as a vertical, we are seeing secular momentum overall in other verticals and geographies. I mean, it's if we continue to see significant stress in high-tech, I don't know whether the growth will be enough to offset or if high-tech remains flattish or grows slightly, then I see us growing significantly.
Okay. And sir, what do you believe was the growth outside high-tech in this quarter has been flat to a declining trend, except for the BFSI? So is it largely because of furloughs?
Largely because of furloughs, yes.
Okay, okay. And Sachin, is it possible...
This time the furloughs were much deeper and wider than what I have seen in the past few years.
Okay. Just a related question, Manish. Do you expect most of these furloughs to reverse in the fourth quarter? And Sachin, if you can quantify the impact of furloughs on this quarter's revenue.
Vijay, you want to take that?
Yeah, I take the first portion of the stuff. I think we are seeing some sort of a mixed bag in terms of furlough reversal in Q4. Some of the sectors like high-tech are going to continue to have furloughs in the early part of the quarter, whereas some of the other sectors are not going to have the impact of furloughs. So there will be some impact of furloughs in Q4 as well. Sachin, you might want to quantify.
Yeah. So Sandeep, combination of furloughs and utilization has impact of close to 200 basis points on our gross margins. And, normally the data of the split, we don't make it public.
Okay, okay. And Sachin, if I presume you said in the opening remarks, provision for doubtful debts has been reversed in this quarter, which impacted margin by 110 basis points Q1Q positively. So will this be a headwind in the coming quarter? And if yes, what could be the headwind impact?
Yeah, obviously, as you know, the PDD is a one-time impact which we registered in Q3. But broadly, other parts of our operational efficiency track continue to work. If you look at let's talk about utilization. In Q3 of last year, my utilization was below 78%. It was 77.7%. This time, my utilization is over 80%. So there will be levers like this which will be available for us going forward.
Okay. And last thing on the depreciation, there has been an absolute decline. So any one-off in the EBIT margin, apart from provision for doubtful debt, led through depreciation or any other items?
See, depreciation has been impacted due to multiple facilities which we have been locating across the globe, including India and US. So the impact of that can be seen over there. Apart from that, the amortization of earlier acquired subsidiaries is also having impact over there. But I don't foresee a significant change in that number in near future.
Okay, thanks, and we'll come in the follow-up. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is on top accounts. While Manish mentioned that, incremental TCP is coming from client mining. Can you clarify, is it coming from top five clients, given we are seeing the contribution from top five continue to decline?
No, actually we are converting our lot of clients, we are moving up. It is not coming, to answer your question, it's obvious that it is not coming from the top five clients. The data shows that. But we are trying to move up the number of clients from bracket from less than 5 million to above 5 million, from less than 10 million to above 10 million. And that is where we are seeing a lot of success.
Sure, sir. Second is regarding the margin. I think on margin, you continue to surprise. And even in this quarter, despite of reversal, we have seen margin, EBITDA margin close to 17%. And we have seen some of the levers like offshoring utilization clearly playing out in last few quarters. So is it fair to assume current quarter's EBITDA margin will be, what we can look forward to in FY25 and maybe next coming quarter?
So it's very difficult for me to talk for FY25 and going forward. I think our guided band has been 14 to 16, because we think that that is a more sustainable range which we can work on going forward. Because we still want to create, as we've been saying, we are working on, few of the large deals which will have impact on the margins in short run. Then then obviously the enabling of the reskilling of my task, delivery team is parallelly happening. At the same time, if you see my investments in S&M is also going up. So I this is the room which we have created to ensure that, in long run, it helps us, me, to grow faster.
Sure, understood. Thanks for answering both the questions and good luck for coming today.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Just to clarify, you mentioned 14 to 16% basically allow for large deals that could ramp up. So have we won anything that is likely to execute and thereby have an immediate impact on margin?
No, I don't think we can state anything which any large deal which will have impact on the margin just now. But you have to build
more forward-looking.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you have to build in the capability to do large deals, right? And as we all know well, that the large deals typically are not very margin accretive. in the initial stages. So we have created that cushion. We also want to create some cushion to invest in sales and marketing and so on. So that is what we are trying to do.
Sure, fair enough. That's helpful. Thank you, Manish.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Sure. Hi, Manish. Thanks. If I look at some of your peers, you know, their commentary has incrementally started turning positive. And if I remember correctly, you know, in one of your interviews, you have talked about, you know, demand continues to remain tough and mega deals are occurring, but, you know, you are also seeing an equal number of that being cancelled. So anything changed for us in last one and a half months? I mean, things have incrementally turning positive for us. Thank you.
As far as the macros are concerned, I don't think there has been a material change in the macros that we have been seeing over the last couple of quarters. And I don't think it is materially going to change for the next two quarters also, the overall macros.
Okay, and also when also the other part regarding that mega deals you talked about, that you have been seeing some cancellations on that side overall. Anything has improved on that front as well?
No, actually, what I was quoting was that for every two large deals getting signed, one existing deal is getting cancelled or something like that. So that is what I had said. But we are at a stage where we have to first win some good amount of large deals, and then hopefully we can comment on cancellations. But what I was commenting on was what I had heard in the industry discussions.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Manish, you might have answered this, but for a consistent growth for Zensar over the next 3 to 5 years, the three things might have to be addressed. One is the large deal team formation, which caters to the pipeline and converts the pipeline faster. Second being the farming of the existing top clients or target clients. And third being the hunting of must-have clients on an ongoing basis. And the fourth being having a required door openers or service capability in the portfolio across verticals. So can you throw light whether Zensar has addressed all these four in terms of restructuring and reorganization, or still some of this is work in progress? And when do you expect these to get addressed and we can actually grow in line with the industry?
All these things have been addressed. Are they perfect? The answer is no. There's always room for improvement, right? So from a strategy perspective, all these four items have been addressed. And we are seeing, as I said, we are seeing some green shoots already. Our farming, as I mentioned, EN is the highest. Existing new deals is highest over the last few quarters, which is a very encouraging sign and shows that farming is working. Do we disclose net new logos? No.
Net new logos, yes.
Okay.
Nine.
We have opened 9 net new logos. Some of them are, quite a few of them are Fortune 500 companies overall. So all those things are happening. It is not that they are not happening. But you cannot be binary that either they are happening, not happening or happening perfectly. So it is always a journey.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
You are audible, sir. You may proceed with your question.
Sir, are you looking for any acquisition because we have got considerably cash and cash reserves, and especially in healthcare sector, we are having less exposure. So, whether this sector can be scalable through acquisition?
Yes, we are looking at all avenues, including acquisitions. Almost every week, we look at a possible acquisition target. And the team is actively working on, but, you know, we'll not buy something just for the heck of it. So where we see a strategic fit and the right price, I have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders to conserve cash. And we continue to look, but we are not going to throw money at doing an acquisition if it's not worth it.
Sir, my second question is regarding that high-tech performance for last so many quarters. So as we see no ray of hope in near future, are we also planning to reduce some exposure, like reducing our investment and deploying the resources in ever-growing sector like BFSI and consumer? Can you
we always keep looking at our portfolio, and we don't do it at a sector level, but we actually do it at an account level. And we go and see where we want to invest, where we want to maintain, and where we want to divest. So we continue to do all three, and we do it at an account level instead of trying to do it at a sector level.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. That's all from me. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Jalaj from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. First of all, could you talk about the two segments, high tech and...
Sorry to interrupt, but your line was breaking in between. I request you to please repeat your question.
Sure. Am I audible?
Yes, this is better, sir.
Yeah. Could you touch upon the sudden degrowth or rather in both life sciences and high tech? Is it all the complete impact is because of the furloughs, or are there some client specific issues or some project related issues there?
No, a lot of impact is because of furloughs, and there are some project cancellations also. So project completions and completions. Project completion, not cancellation, overall. So both those issues are there.
Okay. And could you touch upon the nature of the PBDD, which you talked about, 110 bits, in fact, which vertical was it, and some nature of the color to it?
So I won't be able to disclose in which vertical it was and all, but what I can tell you that according to the accounting norms, you know, when beyond certain days, if the collection is not happening, so we need to create a provision of the same in the book. So according to our accounting policy, we had created that provision in earlier quarters. In Q3, that collection actually happened. So with the collection, we had to reverse the PDD. And that's where you are seeing 110 impact.
Yeah,
got it.
Emphasize, this is an ongoing thing. There is nothing one time that we have done something or anything. This is we are just following our accounting policies and showing you the impact. That's all.
Fair point. And Manish, this would be for you, maybe a little long-term question, 2-3 years or 5 years down the line. What, as per you, or what are you seeing as a growth driver for the organization, and where are we moving? Maybe you could talk about from a IG industry group level or a service line. How do you see the growth coming up, more from a driver's perspective?
No, so I see one of the repositioning that we have done is along the lines of experience engineering engagement. We are perhaps the only company of our size which can do these all three things together and in sync with each other. As more and more digital projects are getting done, it is not about just experience or just engineering or just engagement, but a combination of three. And that is a unique value proposition that is resonating really, really well in our client base. It is helping us differentiate in the market. So I am hoping, and I am seeing some green shoots there also, that this overall strategy will get us to the growth and the top quartile performance that I am looking at in the next 3 years.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks a lot, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up. Manish, one of the lead indicators for us to judge whether the strategy is running or not running could be tracking the deal pipeline. So can you throw some light in terms of how the deal pipeline at the end of December looks like, both on a Q-on-Q and YOY basis? Is it growing higher than your expectation, or it's not meeting your expectations?
Yeah, the deal pipeline is stable to better than same time last year. So that's about all I can say, because we do not disclose the numbers per se. But I can tell you that it's same or better as compared to last year.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jalaj from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Manish, with regards to the offering or the repositioning you talked about, could you specifically touch upon the healthcare vertical? Because I believe that in your previous role, you'd been managing the sale. So could you talk a little about the repositioning of us as a Zensar as a company and the industry trends there? Thank you.
So this quarter is the first time that we have split out the healthcare as a vertical. Actually, we were doing close to 9 to 10% of our revenues was coming from healthcare, and the obvious thing was that if without focus this kind of revenue can be generated, then with focus a lot more can be generated. And that you would have seen in the results of the other players in the industry. Most of them have shown significant growth in healthcare and life sciences. So we have spun it off, or we have created a new vertical, and we will continue to invest in getting exceptional growth in this particular vertical. And yes, I will use my experience in the industry from the past.
So from a service line offering or the offerings we have right now in healthcare, do you feel like they are there, or some more investments need to be made there, or an M&A would be required in this vertical further?
So both M&A and investments, we are not there. As I said, we have just started the vertical. It's barely 2 months old, 3 months old. So we are hiring some excellent people. We are looking at M&A. Whatever it takes, we want to do it, because this is a pretty good vertical to be in.
Okay. And some industry trends, if you were to talk about, maybe some micro peer segment, pay segment, whatever you see like there.
So peer segment is pretty saturated as far as I see it. There is not too much scope for new players. I would say on the innovation segment, which is medical, medtech, and life sciences, etc. There we will see much more innovation is happening, and when innovation happens, agile companies like ours, who have a complete suite of offerings from experience to engagement, we tend to do better. Provider space is very large, but again, provider space is pretty focused on on-site only kind of deals. So we will have to pick and choose what we will take and what we will not take.
Understood. Best of luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Devang Bhatt from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So apart from healthcare, any specific areas that you plan to do M&A, or you have identified any particular segments to do M&A?
Yeah, we have a complete M&A strategy in place, and there is a corporate development team focused exclusively on M&A. And we have fairly detailed strategy in place.
Okay, and in terms of say generative AI, are you seeing some traction, or in which segments are you seeing generative AI traction?
We are seeing a lot of traction, but primarily in proof of concepts. Last time I in one of the calls I had mentioned that we are doing close to 100 proof of concepts overall in the Gen AI space, but a lot of them are either revenue is small, or we are doing it pro bono to get into larger, win larger deals using Gen AI space. But we are doing a lot in that area.
Great. And sir, in terms of say your segment wise, maybe in medium term, which segments are you seeing green shoots, and which segments are you seeing headwind? I mean, vertical wise, if you could.
Headwind is obvious. Headwind is obvious. High tech, and rest of the things I said I have been doing pretty okay. So that is pretty much the answer. And basically, we are in just four verticals. We don't want to spread ourselves very thin. So that is where. Those headwinds and tailwinds are where we are. And as I said, even BFSI in knock on wood, we have seen growth, where our other competitors and other industry colleagues have seen negative growth.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Jalaj from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So picking up your brains a little more on healthcare. Do you guys expect that healthcare would contribute to somewhere mid-teens or a higher level in, of the top line in the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, obviously the hope is there that it will contribute disproportionately. I mean, without creating a vertical, it was contributing 9-10%. So if we are creating a vertical, hopefully it will give us that that growth.
Got it. And one thing which you alluded upon, and which your peers have been saying, majority of them have had a good quarter on quarter and a YoY in healthcare. So some specific issues for us, since we have rather a YoY, we had a huge degrowth there on a small base also.
A particular completion of a few projects and also some amount of furlough. And companies who are seeing growth, they are working primarily in the payer segment, where this is the open enrollment season this quarter, so they see an uptick in revenue.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the follow-up. Could you give us some color on the deal wins that we have won in the quarter, maybe by vertical? Where are you seeing the most strength? Or even if you could give a trend over the last 3 quarters, where have you seen the biggest strength from a deal win perspective? When you look at verticals?
So that is, we don't give the split of deal wins by verticals, but what I can tell you...
Just qualitatively.
Yeah, so quantitatively, if you look at, you know, obviously my order book is reflecting a consistent improvement on a year-on-year basis. Last quarter, we reported $194 million. This quarter, we reported $167 million, which is on a YOY basis, there's a significant improvement, if you see, starting from Q1 itself. So for last three quarters, we had a pretty healthy deal order book, you know, which represents the deals. And as Manish said, especially in this quarter, our existing new portion of the deal wins has been one of the highest in last, you know, maybe 8-10 quarters. So I think that is a reflection of the farming which is happening across the, you know, across the verticals, except the high tech where we are seeing some headwinds.
Sure, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Tandon for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining this call, which turned out to be a very important day in the history of this country and also a holiday. So I am very grateful that you could join even on a holiday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of IDBI Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.